My name is Jun Inoue from National Institute of Polar Research in Japan. And today, my challenging work is the Arctic Research Collaboration for the Weather Sounds Observing System Experiment, so-called APROS. This consists of the observational research and the data simulation. And as you know, the weather sounds observation are very essential for making the atmospheric wind analysis data as well as the weather forecast. But the number of stations and observations are very limited over the Arctic Ocean. So I think there is some possibilities to improve the weather forecast if we have additional observation over the Arctic Ocean. And yes, considering the Northern Sea Route, strong winds events are very dangerous for ship navigation. For example, Arctic cyclones and high pressure systems generate the strong winds, not only the strong winds, but high waves and icing and ice advection. This phenomena is very dangerous for ship navigation. And the other thing is the linkage between the Arctic and the middle latitudes. So if we have the additional observation over the Arctic, it might be possible to improve the predictability of such kind of extreme events over the Eurasia. So for this purpose, we've studied the small project using weather sounds. So the Arctic Research Collaboration for Weather Sounds Observing System Experiment, APROS. And this project is related to the extra observation field campaigns and modeling, especially the data assimilation and the forecasting. And what we can do right now is to increase the number of observation as well as the number of stations itself. And using this kind of special observation, we can evaluate the effect of this intensive observational data set on the atmospheric circulation and weather forecast using the observing system experiment by the data simulation system. And based on this project, we hopefully propose the future observing network over the Arctic Ocean. And we've studied a kind of pilot studies for year of polar prediction, as Thomas mentioned. And yes, this is the international collaboration with RV and Environment Canada. And we have the additional observations over the Arctic Ocean by research vessels and land stations. And we also prepare the experimental ensemble wind analysis data, which includes the global observation. We usually use the NSEP prep buffer data set. This data set also includes the additional observations. So this is the control wind analysis. We have 63 members. And the other wind analysis is a kind of sensitivity wind analysis data set. And we use the same data set, observation data, but just excluding this data set. And we run the atmospheric model to predict several events forced by this wind analysis data set as the initial data, and we can estimate the predictability of extreme events. And also, if we run the sea ice couple model, sea ice ocean couple model, forced by this atmospheric forcing, we also investigate the predictability of sea ice distribution. And today, I introduce two cases. One is the Great Cyclone case, observed on the 6th August 2012. And the other case is the strong wind case over the Northern Sea Route during 2013, September. And the first case is the Great Cyclone case. So as you know, the Great Cyclone was observed August 2012, and minimum pressure was below the 970 hectopascal. And these events are very influential for sea ice reduction. And Ian Simmons at University of Melbourne reported that the tropospheric polar vortex over the Farm Strait is a trigger for the cyclogenesis of this cyclone. And fortunately, German icebreaker Polarstern made special soundings over the Farm Strait. So now it's a good case to investigate the impact of additional observation on the atmospheric circulation, especially the forecasting. So we prepared two sets of reanalysis data for the forcing as initial data. One is a wet one, which includes the observation over the Farm Strait variations data. And the other one is just excluding the observation. And this figure shows the time evolution of the central pressure of the Great Cyclone. And the black shows the control reanalysis. And the red one is the control forecast, which includes the observation over the Farm Strait. So you can see that the central pressure of the cyclone well predicted, comparing with the other one. So from this result, we can say some special observations are very important, sometimes very important to predict this extreme event. And based on these results, we decided to expand the observational network over the Arctic Ocean. And in 2013, Japanese research vessel Mirai made a special sounding program over the Chukchi Sea during 2 weeks. And this is the fixed point observation, stationary point observation. And research vessel Mirai is good for the radio sounds observation. She has an auto balloon launcher for radio sounds, so it's possible to launch a lot of radio sounds. So we usually launch 8 radio sounds per day. And the other participating land stations are New Olson, operated by Alfred Wegener Institute. This station has 6 launches per day during mid-September. And operational Canadian stations, Alert and Eureka, has the 4 launches per day. So totally, the bottom figure shows the daily number of radio sounds, so from September 1st to 30. And during mid-September, about 2 weeks, the number of radio sounds 22 launches per day during our project. So, you know, during this period, not only the atmospheric reanalysis data set, but weather forecasts should be improved during this time. And this year, September 2014, same stations launched radio sounds. And research vessel Polarstern and Odin also joined our project. And the Polarstern has 1 or 2 launches per day during 3 weeks, and Odin has 4 launches per day. So unfortunately, Odin data was not found in the NSF prep buffer data set. But anyway, we have lots of radio sounds data over the Arctic Ocean. So I think it's these years are very good for the model comparison. And I'll show the preliminary results from the ACROSS 2013. We are focusing on the strong wind case along the Northern Sea Route, along the Russian coast, associated by the high pressure system over the East Siberian and the Chukchi Seas. And you can see that during a few days, a part of Northern Sea Route was closed due to the sea ice advection induced by the strong winds. And in the ERA interim reanalysis data, surface wind speed exceeds about 20 meters per second. So that is very extreme event. And we prepared five experimental reanalysis data set. Each reanalysis has 63 members. And first one is a control reanalysis, which has all across stations. And the other reanalysis data without all across stations or part of data were is excluded from the system. And we run the forecast models forced by this reanalysis data set as an initial condition. And this is the example of the six-day forecast of the sea level pressure, shading, and the geopotential height at 500 hectopascal contour. So you can see high pressure system along the Russian coast is well predicted in control forecast, but other forecasts sometimes failed to predict the high pressure system along the Russian coast. And this is the time evolution of the prediction skill. Comparing with the control forecast, for example, blue one shows the sensitivity forecast without all across data set. So there is big difference between them. And green, by the way, thick line shows the ensemble mean skew. So from this result, we can see that data from the research vessel Mirai and the Nielsen is very critical to predict the high pressure system along the Northern Sea Route. And the difference in surface winds between control forecast and the sensitivity forecast without all across data set are shown in this figure. So you can see that very large difference can be found along the Russian coast. So difference in surface wind speeds along the Northern Sea Route exceeded 4 meters per second. This value might be very big if we run the ice-ocean couple model. So sea ice distribution should be very different between if we use the control and the sensitivity forecast atmospheric field. So some results are shown in my poster behind you. So if you're interested in the sea ice forecast, please visit my poster. And upper level is also might be interested in to look at. And this figure shows the geopotential height field in control forecast during the period of forecasting period. And you can see that there is a polar vortex over the Arctic Ocean. And the important thing is black dots. Black dots shows the trajectories of the difference in the ensemble spread between control forecast and sensitivity forecast without across data set. So here, ensemble spread, the difference in ensemble spread is a kind of observational signal associated with the uncertainty of atmospheric circulation. And you can see that some trajectories are traveled along the polar vortex from Arctic to middle latitudes. And some trajectories are trapped in the Arctic Ocean. So these observational signals may affect the predictability at the surface winds and the sea level pressure. And to wrap up, I listed up some issues towards the year of polar prediction. So in my presentation, the season is just September. September is very easy to go to the Arctic Ocean by ship, but we have to know another season, especially winter time. So this is the challenges toward the year of polar prediction. And of course, the coordination of land stations like the Canadian station are very important. And maybe Russian stations are key for this project. And of course, in collaboration with the operational weather center, for example, ECMWF, NSF, are also important. So I think they must have some opinions for additional observation campaign. For example, cost effective number of stations or observational frequency. And more challenging thing is the impact of atmospheric forecast on the sea ice forecast. So Japanese companies, weather companies, are providing some sea ice forecast to the northern ships along the northern sea route, but it heavily depends on the atmospheric forecast. So we have to improve atmospheric forecast from the observation. That's all. Thank you.